polio came in perhaps just before the hospital opened, maybe the early 50s. I'm not sure about the polio now because I was never involved in the polio. I was aware of the polio. The poliomyelitis came in, and that's what spurned the building of the orthopedic hospital, because there were nine foundations already in the area where the hospital is now, or was, I should say, and they were foundations for a fever hospital. But the fever hospital was never built, and because there was a new discipline had arrived on the scene, and on the south, basically, it was the only one, the orthopedic was built. So that was the beginning of it. And then as the years went on, orthopedic surgeries changed substantially. Like the first, I remember well, the first total hip replacement.
Do you?
I remember the lady.
Do you?
I do. I remember her name.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
She was quite a young woman. Would have been very active if she hadn't hip problems. I always remember she had a scissors gait, and the one thing she wanted to do was to be able to go dancing, and the transport would be the back of the motorbike with her husband. And she achieved it.
That's great.
So it was great. She was the first, she had one hip done first, and then some months later she had the second one done. And she was very proud of being able to wear Cuban heel shoes.
Cuban
Heel
heel
shoes.
shoes. You'll have to tell me what they are.
They were very nice little heel, but so high. And she was always in flat shoes. She couldn't wear them up to then, but she was able to wear her heels, you can call them.
What do we call those? Kitten heels? No.
No, they were different
No.
to kitten heel. They were
Big
a
in.
chunkier heel than a kitten heel, but
I'll have
about
to
the
keep an
same
eye on
height.
those.
About the same height. That was the lady in question now was the first one. And both Mr. Moore and Mr. O'Connell, they were both doing hips. Mr. Moore took a particular interest in the children. When I say particular interest now, I'm not saying that he didn't do general orthopedics. He did. But he looked after the children. He looked after the congenital dislocated hips, etc., and moved along in the treatment of those where they would, one time they'd be in hospital for a long time, and now suddenly they'd be able to go home and be looked after at home equally as well as they would have in the hospital. I suppose the whole explosion of replacing joints was huge because it became the hips, the elbows, the knees, the wrists, you know, it was huge. Mr. Curtin's forte would have been in that area. He would have been upper limbs. And like hands and shoulders and so the whole thing sort of was slow, we'll say, to start off. It was, we'll call them mundane things in today's world. But for us, they were huge because the care of the patients, we looked after those patients. They came straight out to a single cubicle in Block 9, which was the surgical unit. And we didn't have piped oxygen. We had oxygen with cylinders. And you know, when I think back, that we never really had a major catastrophe because that we didn't have all of today's things, if you know what I mean. That it was, you know, it was very, very interesting work. It was very interesting work. And the surgeons were very generous with their time. We used to have a lecture at least once a month in what was the nurse's home. This is what they did them. And we'd have a different topic for their forte, whatever it was.
So the surgeons did those lectures
Oh, it
for the
was all
nurses.
voluntary. It was in the evening when we were all off duty. And, you know, it was a quite, what should I
It's an
say?
interesting way of teaching.
Well, I suppose it benefited both sides, you know, the nursing staff, and it benefited the surgeons because we were on a par, I suppose you could say, as regards what they did and what we were expected to do when they had done the surgical end of things, and we were there for the practical end, the nursing end of things. I mean, patients are going home now 3-4 days after hip replacement. We'd have them in a month. So, like, I mean, we got to know the patients. As against people who moved along fairly smart and had met several nurses in the meantime. Like ours, we would have known them. They stayed in Block 9 for, I'd say, days. And then they were moved to either the children's unit or the female wards or the male wards, whichever. And their treatment was carried on from there. And that kept the surgery moving as well.
What length was the surgery at that time?
At that time, we'll go for the first total hip replacement now. I suppose it would have been 3.5 hours.
Okay.
At that time.
Which is a long surgery.
Which is a very long, it was a very long surgery and, you know, called for a lot of preparation and so on. But then it came, I mean, I was still ward sister when we were doing their bloods ahead of time and bringing them in the night before.
Yeah.
And like all that had sort of condensed their stay in hospital. That had moved on.